Sometimes it's kind of hard to get started as a speaker whenever you're interrupting good fellowship. You hear everybody talking and visiting and see folks sitting in different spots. Sometimes it's just kind of fun to listen to and not interrupt. But I'm going to go ahead and do that now and interrupt and go ahead and get started with our class and kind of refresh our minds a little bit about what we're trying to do on Wednesday nights. And basically, the course title that you've nicely enrolled in is Passion, Purpose, Life, Refocusing on Christ. And if you remember last week, we kind of did some ground rules, is what I called it, some basic foundations of things that I hope that we'll accomplish as we go through our course, through our time together. And we spent a lot of time towards the end of the class talking about what we communicate. What we communicate in our homes. What we communicate with the messages that are around our homes. How we communicate when we're out in the community. And basically, the way that the flow of the class that I would like to take is we're going to look at these different elements, and they're going to kind of build on one another. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about an inward focus. And when I talk about an inward focus, I'm not meaning necessarily on the individual. I'm meaning inward as in terms of the congregation. We have a lot of different dynamics, and I would like us to at least think about a few things to increase our awareness, not necessarily saying that there's any particular thing going on. It's just an awareness of we're all involved in relationships, and the congregation's formed around those relationships, and it's affected by those relationships. And so tonight, that's what I'd like to do, is to reflect on our relationships within the congregation. And it's really fascinating to me because from the time I accepted Cleo's invitation to speak, this subject has been on my mind for the series. So I find it fascinating that Corey, on November 25th, on a Sunday night, spoke on why we need the assembly. And then Ken led a couple of evening courses or evening classes talking about the elements of worship and how it worked within the assembly, specifically with the Lord's Supper and with singing. And so I find it interesting that for whatever reason, somehow this is all coming around at the same time. What I would like to do is, anybody have a heavy meal tonight? All right, so if you helped cook or prepare or serve or clean up or pick up tables, thank y'all for doing that. It's a neat experience. But sometimes with that, you know, you get a little heavy, you get a little comfortable, you finally have got to sit down for a few minutes. So what I would like to do tonight is I'm going to poll the audience. All right, so I'm going to need your participation. And the way that I would like to do this is that I'm going to reference something that I think is really important that our congregation participates in, and that's family camp. So if you haven't been to family camp, it's an early plug. Normally happens in June. And it's not just specific to families. Individuals can go too. But at family camp, there's a brief survey that they do every year by asking families to stand up and then sit down, depending on how many family camps a family or an individual has attended. So in a similar way, I'm going to ask you to do some calisthenics with me. We're going to stand up and sit down. In a similar way, I'd like to find out how many families tonight are present that were part of the original congregation, part of the original group that formed what we know as the Woodland Oaks. So if you're part of that original group, if you'd stand up. All right. Okay. Now, how many have been here about 15 years or so? 15 years? All right. So there's a little bit different group. All right. How about 10 years? Okay. So we're starting to see a few more. How about 5 years? All right. Raising your hand. That's good. All right. How about 0 to 5 years? All right, so you see all the different groups that we have, just in not even age terms, just in the amount of time that we have assembled here together. And as a side note, you may have noticed my wife standing up in the last group. We've only been here since the spring of 2010. It's a relatively short period of time. So thank you all very much for doing that. I wanted to point out that there's a lot of variety. And evaluating our population, which number was larger? Was it the original group or a little bit more newer faces? All right, so I heard some new. And maybe some of you that are in more of the leadership roles, you probably have a little bit more specific than what I do. But just my casual observation is that there's a lot of new families. But there's also a lot of folks that have been here for a period of time. Specifically, for those that have been here 10 years or more, you've probably forged some relationships long term. And you may have even seen some families come and go, whether that was from career choices or family choices or folks just may have quit coming. Some of you may be in positions of leadership. You are an elder. You are a deacon. You are a minister. You are somehow a staff member or a leader. You may be a leader within our congregation with no direct title. You're not in any official capacity per se, but you have a lot of influence on what takes place because you're an influential person. You're a leader within the congregation. For those who've been here 0 to 5 years, some of you may find yourselves in those roles, and you're likely still meeting new people. There's a lot of us still meeting new people. We're still trying to build relationships and find out where you fit. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight, is having an inward focus. And not to point out all these differences, just to acknowledge that there's some different things that we all bring to the table. As long-term members, what do we do individually or as families and as a congregation to reaffirm our existing relationships? What are some things that we do to reaffirm on a periodic basis some of those long-term relationships we've had? Any hands that want to volunteer what you do to reaffirm some relationships? Do you call folks? Yes. All right. Now, how many of you go out to eat on Sunday? It's okay. There's nothing wrong with going out to eat. There's nothing wrong with eating at your house. That's a Sunday tradition, isn't it? Anywhere I've ever been in my life, folks that worship together, eat together, whether it's at the congregation or out in the community. All right, so that's one way that we reaffirm some of those relationships, right? How many of you have folks over to your house? Anybody have folks? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to do the old internet thing, right? David's got to talk about the internet at least once in every lesson he teaches. How many of you guys Facebook one another to help stay in touch with and reaffirm relationships? Yeah. Phone calls, emails, stop by each other's homes. Those are all things that we do to reaffirm relationships, right? How do we do those things without neglecting new people and new relationships? This one's always been unique to me because no matter what type of organization you're in, whether it's a body of believers or a school or a place of employment, right, there's always turnover. There's always a change of people and personnel and personalities. So what are some things that you do to help maintain existing relationships without neglecting others? Anybody have any tips or tricks that you do for that? All right, so Richard referenced family camp. All right. So what about family camp allowed you to get to know people better? All right. So at family camp, for those of you that haven't been, right, you stay in rooms, in cabins, for lack of a better term, then you're grouped together in different activities. your group together in different Bible classes, different family events, non-family events, fire, eating meals together, all that in the friendly confines of a real small area. We don't go home to our separate homes that are all across the Woodlands area, the Conroe area, the Spring area, Tomball, right? We're all right there. All right, so an interesting way to help break down some of the natural barriers that exist. Absolutely. In any organization, in any place, there's always somebody that is, quote unquote, in my eyes, out of place. Somebody doesn't fit. Maybe they don't fit the mold. Maybe they're new. Maybe they're a stranger. Maybe they're touring the area. There's always somebody that, no matter where you find yourself, grocery store, gas station, school, mall, look at the crowd, and you can typically identify one or two folks that don't look like they just look different. They look maybe lost. Yesterday, Chelsea and I were driving, and somebody turned on a one-way street in our direction. And we were able to distract them. They stopped, they backed up, and they turned back where they came from. But it appeared like they weren't familiar with the area. Right? And how many times have we heard about folks getting lost among the trees trying to find something in the area? Folks get lost. Folks get confused. But typically, if we're thinking about it, we can identify folks that don't seem to be here yet for whatever reason. All right. As new members, how do we insert ourselves as newer folks? I saw lots of hands, so how do you insert yourselves as newer folks? Yes. Go to everything, right? So if there's something going on at the church building or something going on outside the church building, go to a function. All right? Yes. Okay, so sometimes there may be some things that get us a little bit out of our comfort zone. All right, when we think about being new somewhere, does anybody have a recollection of a time where they were new somewhere and what it felt like that they would like to share? Time where you were new somewhere and you remember how it felt and you'd be willing to share that. All right. So there's a whole litany of things. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the times where Chelsea and I have been new. We probably moved at least one time a year for the first 4 years we were married. We moved from Oklahoma to Texas. And during that time period, we never got rid of our boxes. We were new places. All right. And so in our garage, we would have boxes because we didn't want to have to find boxes again. And I see the Flemings kind of smiling a little bit because they're in the middle of boxing, right? So boxes symbolize something to us about transition. And we would show up places and we would have to insert ourselves into existing relationships. And sometimes that's not always easy. Sometimes it is good to be outgoing from time to time because you'll meet more people, perhaps. But the whole intent here is to not point fingers in any one general direction. It's just to talk at an awareness level that we know the congregation's growing. We know that there are new faces. And we know that there have been folks here for a long time. And so this is purely a way to discuss an awareness level that maybe we're not always aware of. Maybe we don't understand some of the needs that folks may have by either way, whether they've been existing members or not. So there potentially could be a natural tension between existing relationships and new. And in fact, Ken discussed that a little bit in his most recent lesson about how you can't forgo, you can't neglect the long-term relationships you've already established. As I thought about the topic, the following things came to my mind. I had a lot of questions that came up. And I'm inquisitive. I like to ask questions. I don't always have answers, but I like to ask questions. So when we look at our congregation, does anybody know how many ministries we have? Ministries. Is anybody aware of the number, volume, the total number of ministries that our congregation actively supports? I don't. All right. So is there the potential to assume that folks know the various opportunities that exist to serve? To just assume that folks know. I believe that there is. In any organization, there are assumptions. And so whenever I think about some ways, whether it's existing members or new members, there's the potential for us to assume that everyone knows about different ministry opportunities. How many of you help out on Sunday nights with the kids over there? Raise your hands high. It's a huge service, okay? So that's one ministry activity. How many of you have ever been involved with going to Silverado? All right. So there's another activity. How many of you have ever been involved in caring or sharing ministry here? All right. These are just a handful of ministries, and chances are if you're involved in those, you know more about those, but you may not know about some of the other things the congregation's doing. Is there the potential to assume that everyone knows the various opportunities that exist within our congregation? Sure. There are opportunities all around us. In fact, there are things probably that folks do on an individual basis that the congregation doesn't formally support, but several members do. Is there the potential as a congregation grows for folks to get lost? Yeah. I would imagine that's a tremendous fear that I have. That's something that I just have a fear of. And we've worshiped at places that were very large, and we've worshiped at places that were very small. But there's always that potential. Whether you're growing rapidly or not, there's always the potential that families can get lost. All right. So these are different questions that I just have, that when I think about a congregation, wherever I've been, these are just different things that I wonder about. You know, I'll ask questions or I'll find out somebody's involved in something, and so I may ask some more questions. Oh, tell me more about that. I saw for a long time Silverado was listed on the bulletin. Hey, what is this? Tell me more about Silverado. And so somebody told me, hey, we go over to a memory care center and we do a worship service on Sundays. Wow. Okay. That sounds interesting to us. We would like to participate. Folks that help prepare communion or serve communion is another aspect that we serve one another. All right. So whenever I talk about an inward focus, this spans whether our knowledge is about the congregation and the different aspects that it's involved in things. And it also spans how we minister to one another. So, where do you find yourself on the spectrum of involvement? Where do you find yourself on the spectrum of involvement? And when you're involved in things, do you put yourself in other people's shoes? Whenever you ask people to serve, you think about folks sometimes that don't serve, or educating folks on what exactly it is that you do. What can we do to help ensure that we continue to serve one another? When I read through Scripture, nothing specifically is spelled out to me to have an effective involvement ministry. Excuse me. There's nothing that I read that says, David, to have an effective involvement ministry, you do this. Or David, to ensure that you reach the maximum members of your congregation, you do this. But there are some areas that we can find out how we serve one another. So if you would, open up your Bibles. We're going to look in several passages. We're going to start first in John chapter 13. One of the biggest, most amazing ways that we can impact one another is that we can love one another. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, that's what we're told to do, to love one another. So I want to ask you tonight, and yes, this question I'm asking, I want a response from y'all back. If we love one another, what does that mean to us, and what does it look like? What does it mean to love one another, and what does it look like? Yes, sir. All right. What are some other ways? Yes, sir. Be concerned about someone else's situation. How many of us have situations come up in life? Whenever we're going through a situation, what does it feel like? What are we concerned with at that point in time? I'm the only one. My situation, it's hard, it's difficult. Nobody else is experiencing what I'm experiencing, perhaps. You feel lonely? Isolated? Sad? Yeah. And we have a lot of folks that go in and out of those cycles, right? Because we all said we have situations come up in life. And when you're feeling lonely and isolated and sad, you feel like you're the only one that is experiencing your struggle. What helps? Yes. Okay. Sorry. If you're involved with daily living with some of these people, even at your work, you know what happens to a lot of your other coworkers. Our ladies' class is very involved in what's going on with the ladies in the congregation. You really have to pinpoint some of these little things and get down to, okay, can I help? And how can I help? Involved in people's lives. I love that sentiment. We live in a very hyperactive, in my opinion, society. In some levels, it seems like a superficial connectivity. while we may have lots of relationships that we kind of sort of maintain, they may be a little bit less, more surface level and a little less below. When we're involved, yes, go ahead, Gil. Absolutely. You know, being involved in one another's lives, sometimes, if you're like me, it's not always easy to ask for help. Anybody here like to be a self-sustainer? Help take care of your own? You handle your business and your problems because that's the way you're supposed to do it? And sometimes we're not good about asking for help. But when we have folks that are involved in our lives, and folks may not have to ask us what we need. They know what we need. And they can help anticipate those needs and supply things and say, you know what? When I was experiencing X, Y, or Z, it was hard for me to say I needed help. But when I look back, I really needed something. And so we can say, okay, well, I know family X is experiencing whatever they're experiencing. I'm just going to supply something because that was helpful to me at that time, and they're not asking for it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. And what I've found is that when we're involved with one another's lives and we show up, it means a lot. Folks, sometimes it's nice to see a friendly face. There's a guy that I watched a speech from. His name is Ernesto Cinerelli. You may or may not have heard of him. I don't really know what all he does for a living. But he said something that I really liked because I like to talk. I don't always listen very well. And he said, one thing I do is I stop, I shut up, and I listen. And sometimes when we ask about how folks are doing, we can just stop and listen. Just listen. Ask another question that follows up with whatever story is being shared. And just listen. Not even to offer advice, but just to listen. So when I read through Scripture, nothing teaches me necessarily how to have an effective involvement ministry that takes away all of David's fears about congregations and growth and small congregations and big congregations. There's nothing that just relieves all my fears, per se. But there are things that if I look at, and if you believe like I believe, that we're all here striving for the same thing, that if we love one another, then we're going to help anticipate and meet needs. And it's not going to matter if I've been here 0 to 5 months. It's not going to matter if I've been here a decade. Yes. Excellent. So if you weren't able to hear, Pam said sometimes if we can just suppress our own needs, our own problems, for just, even if it's just a little bit of time, we'll hear of or we'll observe someone else that has far greater need at that time. Yes.
And he just pursued and did and was kind and
So we had a reference to Driving Miss Daisy and a character in that movie not wanting another character to be involved in their life. But somebody didn't give up, and they persisted. And eventually, at the end, the relationship was, you're my best friend. How many of you have ever heard the term stick-with-itness? Stick-with-itness? How have you ever heard that term, stick-with-itness? Stick to it? Just keep going? Anybody ever grow up in a home where you joined a sports team or something, an activity, and your parents said, once you commit to something, you cannot quit until you've finished your commitment? You ever heard that before? Maybe some of you used that recently. Perhaps stick-with-itness. We're people. As much as I would love to be perfect and flawless and perfect in a lot of areas, I'm not. I'm human, and I've got warts, and I've got all types of ugly things about me that I'm not always what I would like to be. And sometimes you have to stick with me. And sometimes we have to stick with one another, even when somebody may have some warts and things that just really rear up at us. Stick with itness. Another verse I would like us to look at, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Yes. Serving one another. What's glamorous about dropping on your knees and washing dirty, nasty, sand-dried-out feet? Anything glamorous about that? No. Is there anything glamorous about taking the trash out after we eat over to the dumpster? Dealing with leaky, half-eaten food and spilled drink? Anything glamorous about that? Sweeping the floors? How about cleaning the bathrooms? Anything glamorous about that? Not in my book. There's nothing glamorous about that. Serving one another, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, this is probably my favorite. It's one of my favorite. And the reason it's one of my favorite is because, right, we aspire to be like Christ. And in this chapter, in this section, it's broken down to us all of the stuff that Jesus was willing to give up and to consider himself equal to us. And to lower himself, washing feet while he's here. And I have to believe that if we have an attitude of considering others better than ourselves, that if we're motivated out of love, that we're going to look at opportunities and ways to involve one another and to check in on one another and to meet one another's needs. Yes.
Move into
Absolutely. Thinking along those lines, you mentioned gave what they had. What do you have? Anybody, what do you have? Sorry? Stuff. All right. So a lot of us have stuffitis. It just continues to grow and grow, right? We have stuffitis. Some of it's inflamed in some households. Some of it's a little bit more under control, but we have stuff. Well, how do we serve with our stuff? We share it. Okay. Anybody else have anything that they share besides stuff? Sorry? Time. Wow. How's sharing your time? How does that serve people? There's a lot of folks in the business world, right? Yes. So sacrifice. So sharing what you have involves sacrifice, right? If you're like me, you have a job that takes time away from your family. And whenever you finish up with whatever it is that takes time away from your family, you have other responsibilities, right? And so you're constantly juggling these things and trying to balance it. And then you throw in whatever activities that you are involved in or your children are involved in, whatever aspects that you serve at the congregation. And it's balancing and trying to figure out what that fine line is. Sacrifice and thinking about others beyond ourselves helps meet needs. All of us here, we've all said that we have needs. And sacrificing your time, sacrificing your possessions, sacrificing your talent, your energy. Maybe there's something that you have that you dedicate in your employment area, and you're very, very talented at it. And maybe to serve in another way while maintaining your employment helps. And you're sacrificing because if instead of volunteering, you were billing somebody. It involves sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, there's an encouragement to spur one another on in love. And I told you that there were going to be some areas that I felt like we were going to talk about that would really excite people because that's what they're passionate about. There might be some other areas that we talk about that really doesn't light a flame in us. But I think it's important for us to talk about that we can spur one another on in love. And in Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read those verses real quick. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as the habit of some are doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more day as you see the day approaching. And how many of you get encouraged when somebody goes out of their way, and they take the time, They take their possessions. They take whatever it is and they serve you. What does that do to you? Is that encouraging? Is that helpful? Do you feel loved? Do you feel like somebody actually cares about you? That they would take time out of their life and out of their roles and out of their responsibilities and they thought about you? When I read about spurring one another on in love, I think about how we can impact one another by living a life that is dedicated to our service so that God receives glory. Folks don't say, well, you know, that was David or that was Richard. Or they give glory to God. And all of us here, we're all going to go through things. And that's one of the things that really excites me, is knowing that I have folks involved in my life that have the same goal as I do. They want to go to heaven. That's, at any moment, whenever I pass away, I want to go to heaven. And I want my wife to go to heaven. And I want my children to go to heaven. And I want to leave something behind that helps encourage them, that in their families, they encourage their families to go to heaven. And I want the folks that I work with to go to heaven. And the only way that I can effectively do that is by not always being worried about David. And trying to figure out ways to help. I want more than anything for this to be an awareness to us so that we can anticipate the needs of one another to continue doing that. I referenced in our last time together how many times that folks here have helped in various ways for us. And I want us to continue to just have that in our mind, regardless of what aspects of ministry we're involved with, regardless of how long we've been here or not been here, that we can put others first, even if it's just for a brief moment. And the second thing that I want us to think about is that it's being okay to receive help. It's okay. It's okay to be the recipient of somebody's kindness and goodness, no matter how much you already feel blessed. The body is designed for all who call on His name and are joined with our Lord in baptism. And we have an awesome thing being here. And I thank y'all for being servant-hearted and servant-minded. Thank you for your participation.